Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, and we're going to continue talking about ministry. We've been looking at ministry in general, and hopefully you've gotten the idea that it's not so much something you do, but it's part of who you are. That as a born-again Christian, you have been re-spirited, and the characteristics of the spirit that you are now is the same characteristics that God himself has. And his basic, fundamental characteristic is to give. Now, we can also call it to love, but it's the same thing as he gives what he is. And that's the way he shows his love. Likewise, if we are spirit beings, if we are born again into what? Into spirit, into the characteristic again, who our Father is now. We, too, our main characteristic is to give. That's what our ministry is for each one of us, is to give what we have received from God. Now, that's all ministry is to receive and give. So we may have to change some of our perspectives, expectations for ourselves and for others who are involved in what especially Western cultures call ministries. And there's something about, culturally speaking, the whole concept of having somebody carry the load for religious and spiritual aspects of any culture. Regardless of the culture you go to, somebody in that culture is tending to other life-related aspects, while the rest of the people go about their daily work, whether it's farming or hunting or whatever. But that's been true throughout civilization. So it's interesting because that kind of tells us that there's something innate about us that yearns for a connection without us even knowing, okay, that connection is God, but something beyond ourselves. We want something. We want our lives to be about something that's bigger than what we're doing here and now. That's true well before any historical relationships or constructs regarding any kind of thought about Judeo-Christian heritage or thoughts. There's always been some concept of a God and our relationship to him. Throughout most of history, it's been multiple or plural gods, but the concept being that there's something in us that we want to relate to something outside of us, that's bigger than us, that has more power than we have, that's basically going to either take care of us or we have an investment in for the future or controls our past. I won't get too far into that, but that is really reflected in how we have structured our concepts of ministry. There's something just very similar about the way we have it today, you know, our religious gatherings and what we do, the singing and the offering even. And then there's teaching. And then we all go about our regular day. That's very consistent, historically speaking. And I think that's one of the things we want to look at is that God's idea for us as spirit beings, or has he fulfilled something within us? Is there something different for us? And I would say yes. I would say that there is something much more unique and identifying for each one of us than we see typified in the ordinary or normal expression of Christianity today. And even throughout the world today, Christianity is expressed quite a wide variety of modalities. So we're not trying to say that, you know, we're typical here in the Western culture. But just there is a real similarity in the way we approach, the way we express our relationship with God. So that brings us back to ministry as a way of life, a life ministry. For most, sharing what God has given is a part of our lifestyle. From attending a church or group, or teaching Sunday school, or helping a neighbor, or giving a timely encouraging word, there is little expectation of compensation or even recognition from those in a recognized structure of a church or group or a community. The success of most organized religions depends on the volunteerism of the members. For an individual believer, however, if they are simply depending on the Lord to live his life through them, they may be accomplishing far more in hidden ways than an entire ministry in the public arena. So I want you to think about that for a minute. If you are in the privacy of your own home, your own prayer closet, if you are available to God to be and do, to accept and receive and send what he chooses, if you are completely available to him, you can achieve more than a myriad number of ministries who are doing their own thing, and nobody will ever know it but God and you. This is part of our challenge to reframe the concept of ministry. Other people don't need to be aware that they are receiving from you to receive from you. This is where we, again, are learning to have a greater understanding of the supernatural realm and the spirit realm. We think if we're not laying hands on somebody, we're not praying for them. If they don't know we're praying for them, we're not praying for them. And just even the whole concept of what is prayer. If God says, I want you to take authority over this thing in this person's life, and we take authority over that thing in that person's life, and that person is set free, we may not even know who that person is. But we have acted on what God has told us to do, and we have given what God has put within us. We have given our time, our availability. We have given life where God directs it. So we reinterpret, we reevaluate what our thinking is regarding ministry. And we start to take back. We don't need to gather together to be in fellowship. We don't even need to be in the same city. We don't even need to know each other. If we each are united to God, the more we are aware of Him and others are aware of Him and being brought into that oneness with Him, the more we are also becoming one with one another. This is something that the Lord may have to reveal to you, but hopefully it takes some of the pressure off. Whether it's a performance pressure or something that you feel like you want to do but don't know how to do. Ministry is something that you are. You are a giver. You are in ministry. Now, going beyond that, if the Lord doesn't start something, if the Lord doesn't start a movement, a ministry, a project, it doesn't matter how fast it grows or how big it ends up or how many people say how great it is. The truth, the life, the way is in the seed. It's in the beginning. So we want to be careful to be able to recognize what is the truth, what is the seed, what it is that we are participating in. Where are we giving? Is the seed in it from God? Again, this is part of a whole challenge we have of understanding God's ways are not our ways. And yet we so often try to evaluate how we're doing by our own standards rather than paying attention to what God's standards are. We may or may not at any given time have an idea about the effect we may be having. And the thing is, that's good. That's fine. Because that's not what we're supposed to be paying attention to. Instead, we want to look at how we are receiving from Him and then how we are giving, how we are sharing what we have received. So when we look at the way He operates, we allow Him to be whatever He wants to be. And we allow Him to move through us however He chooses. And again, it may be totally different than what we expect. So many of us, when we think of ministry, we think of it in terms of a vocation. And this is part of history. As I was saying, this throughout history, pretty much every culture has someone who takes that burden for the group of tending to those spiritual aspects, however they may manifest themselves in any group, whether it's storytelling or medicine or just a connection to nature, but it's a connection and a way to relate. How do these things connect? How do we find our place in a vast world? And that person, usually that's what they do for a living. That is their contribution to the group. Now, for many believers, the idea of being in full-time or occupational ministry sounds like a great way to pay the bills. Now, I myself have worked for a couple of small ministries and a couple of really large ministries. And there's quite a few expectations that get blown out of the water doing that, which was fine. Now, in large organizational ministries and denominations, once you get in, once you connect with the right people, you can just about be set for life. If you attend the right seminary, believe the right doctrine, you'll always find vocational opportunity with a predictable salary. There are just as many people carrying similar expectations entering into non-denominational ministry. The right contacts, the right credentials, and using the right language, you can make a pretty good living independently as well as in a denomination. Now, part of the problem is when whether you're independent or part of the denomination, there's an expectation that you're going to give according to those expectations. You're going to minister, believe, teach according to what others expect. And I think this is where we start seeing how the difference between God's way of ministering and the cultural, the historical way of ministering. Because we are each unique and have unique problems and needs and wounds that need to be healed, God ministers uniquely to each one of us. And as we participate in his being and his giving, we will also learn to minister and give uniquely for each person. So the emphasis again comes back to being able to hear God, to test what you hear, not just for yourself, but as part of giving to others as well. A need does not constitute an impetus for us to meet that need. God may not want that need met, or he may not want that need met the way we want to meet it. We may think when someone's depressed and down that he needs a good encouraging word. And God may say, no, he needs to be corrected. He's in that situation because he's been rebellious and he needs to see that lovingly. But we need to understand that as ministers, we are giving what we have received from God, and that what we have received is truth, something that that will be comfortable, or something that we can predict. And sometimes that truth hurts and can be difficult. So for those in ministry, and this is why very often ministering and being faithful to what God calls us to do is not as easily accepted in the cultural model that we've talked about, because there is no one size fits all. There is no, okay, this is the problem, here's the solution. And I think that's one of the reasons we try to rely on patterns found in Scripture, that if somebody is in this situation, this is how we pray. This is who prays. This is how the church responds. When God's solution for if a person is this in this situation, we go to Him. We go to God. We say, what's going on here? What can we do for this person? Is there anything? And we rely on God to give what is needed and appropriate to use us to do that. Now, sometimes He doesn't need it, a lot, most of the time, at least especially now, He doesn't need help. God doesn't need our help for most of what He's doing. Now, over time, hopefully, we become more and more able to be used because we become more and more able to hear Him and be a good vessel for what He wants to do. But we don't want to rely on that. We can trust that He knows what He's doing, and He's not waiting for us to get our act together before He intervenes on our behalf and on the behalf of others. So hopefully that takes some of the pressure off of us as well. So going back to vocational ministry, whether you're thinking in terms of a normal denomination or non-denominational, the pattern's the same. If you get in, if you're desiring a vocational ministry, if you can get in one of those, as long as you cooperate, as long as you follow their expectations, you can have a good living. Now, that isn't necessarily going to be God's desire for you. And much of what we're teaching here may very well preclude you from being able to be satisfied. Because unfortunately, most ministries that are consider themselves public ministries have their own way of doing things. They have their own way of distinguishing their emphasis from anyone else. Just think about it, okay? If you, whatever your favorite ministry is, they do something. They have a center. They are focused on something. Whether it's they're focused on feeding the poor or devotion to God or worship or reaching out to the community. They have something or some things that they're focused on. And that's where they go first. That makes it very difficult for God to say, okay, now I want you to stop that and I want you to start this. And yet, that's what God wants us to be able to do, is be available to Him on whatever terms He has. And in a lot of cases, it's not helpful to be able to hear from God, because that does cause strife in these kinds of situations. Because if some are hearing from God and others aren't, there's going to be that division. And that's very often exactly what happens. This is why you end up with split churches and groups breaking off, which is fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. The whole point being, though, that as individuals, whether it's a life ministry or a vocational ministry, the emphasis is always on hearing from God and following through with what you hear. It's about relationship with God and letting Him put into you what He wants you to give to others. Now, having said that, the idea that those who minister should be acknowledged, honored, and compensated by those receiving ministry is well-founded, both scripturally, culturally, historically, and experientially. When you think about it, it's just like any other product or service. And this is true like we were talking about, you know, in other cultures. The person who tends to the connection between that group and the beyond, in whether it's nature or God or whatever, that is their contribution to the community. And that's how, and they are paid for their services. Sometimes just their needs are taken care of. Their place in the structure of the community is unique in that regard. Now, it's in Western culture, it's when there is the expectation on the part of the minister that they are somehow owed recognition, honor, and compensation by those to whom they minister. That's when things get out of balance. The nature and duty of a minister is to give, regardless of what is given in return. So there's going to be times when, and this is very true, I mean, when you look at how ministers minister, it is so much based on, is there a practical return? Is this something that's going to be financially sustainable? What's the security of the finances evaluated? And again, those are absolutely appropriate questions. The problem is to whom are those questions directed? When we turn to, again, denominations or government grants or community, you know, hosting, whoever holds the purse holds the purpose. And we're going to run into conflicts in that way, just as within a group, when we are looking to an outside source to provide financial security compared to depending on God to provide the financial security. Now, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but sometimes we don't know how to appropriate what he has for us. And these are all things that, rather than trying to understand how he works, how he fills our coffers or takes care of us financially as in other ways, we so often just turn right back to what has been our genetic and cultural heritage. As we join a group, we look for how do other people do it. So again, remember, regardless of what your intent is, you are in ministry. If you are a believer in Christ, if you've been born again, if you have been re-spirited, you are in ministry because you are in a place to give out what you have received. Now, there are those who will be in a position that God wants to use in a more public manner or a more time-intensive manner. And sometimes that's all it is. It's not necessarily public. But hopefully by now you've realized that one of our main elements of knowing God is how much time we spend with him. And then to be able to share that with others just plain old takes more time. That's time that very often the choice is, okay, do we take care of God's needs or do we take care of our own? And the bottom line is God knows that. So we will pick it up here next time, next week, same time. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainer's Radio. You can get in touch with me through Blog Talk Radio or through the website at therainersclub.org. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainer's Radio. Have a great night.